Let's open our Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. A well-known passage, oftentimes read on this very day. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. What profit has he that works in that wherein he labors? I have seen the travail which God has given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their hearts, so that no man can find out the work that God makes from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is a gift of God. I know that whatsoever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken away from it, and God does it, that men should fear him. That which has been is now, and that which is to be hath already been, and God requires that which is past. And now turn with me to the words of our text in Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Similar words. Verse 9, the thing that has been, it is, that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. Yet this morning when we woke up and already last evening, beloved, we're being told that all things are new. And that all things will be different. And even while man reminisces of the things that happened in the year past and in the years past, and begins to anticipate the year that lies ahead, the emphasis is upon that idea of newness. We can forget about the past, and we know that time makes it easy to do that. We can anticipate the future, and we can have a very rosy picture, and the world paints that picture for us. And they say to us, this is a new beginning. This is the turning of the page. This is January 1. You can start all over if you want. This is a new chapter to be written in our lives. And so they forget about the past, oftentimes in their own drunken revelry, and they make their New Year's resolutions in anticipation of that which is to come. All things are new, they tell us. And here comes the Word of God. And it tells us the exact opposite. There is nothing new under the sun. The things that have been are now and will be. The things that were done are going to be done. And the world can talk about turning a new page and having a new lease on life. Yet as children of God, we are brought to this sobriety that there is, in effect, absolutely nothing new under the sun. We may try to bury the past, but God gives us to answer for it. We may think that there is a new chapter to be written in our lives, and there is, but we're going to be plagued with the same difficulties. And as we saw last week when we turned to Revelation chapter 12, in order to get a brief glimpse of history, we also received a dose of clear sobriety that there is, in effect, nothing new under the sun. The same world, the same enticement, the same devil, the same flesh, the same pilgrim's journey, all these things stay exactly the same. But this is true as well. God, our great Jehovah, is the unchangeable God. And that's exactly what you find here, with a viewpoint to its application to our daily lives. Our text may seem a little difficult to understand at first. The thing that has been, it is, that which shall be. And that which is done is that which is going to be done, and there is nothing new under the sun. But let's unpack that a moment for ourselves, and let's understand exactly what the Scripture has to say to us. Our children know enough English grammar to understand that in this text, we are dealing with tenses of the verb. I don't intend to make this an English lesson, but you understand the tense of a verb shows its relationship to time. I am, I was, I will be. That's what you have here in our text. You see, God casts all of time in a couple of tenses. And he tells us the things that have been are now and they will be. In the thing that he has done in the past, he's going to do now and he's going to continue to do in the future. And from that perspective, there is indeed nothing new under the sun at all. We teach our children that distinction in tenses. They have to learn to use them appropriately. And soon we teach them that time, from the viewpoint of the past and the present and the future, always has a content. They're not just moments on the clock. But the question is often asked, what did you do with that time? How did you fill that moment? What did you do last year? What do you anticipate doing in the future? And this scripture teaches us to look at time from that perspective through God's eyes, and how important it is for us to do that. And so this is not an English lesson this morning, but this is a theology lesson. After all, theology is the queen of the sciences, often forgotten today. And the Word of God is going to shed light and show us the wisdom, even with regard to the moment in which we stand, which is the changing of the years. And the past has been, we can't change it. We stand in the future and the door of the new year is open to us. And how shall we walk in 2017? With that in mind, let me consider with you this morning nothing new. Three things. First of all, that this is contrary to the way things appear. It doesn't seem as if there's nothing new under the sun. In the second place, let's understand that this is nevertheless an indelible truth. God wrote it in His Word, and it is true. And finally, let's see that that is a practical comfort for the child of God. Nothing new that's contrary to appearance, that is the truth of the Word of God, and that is a practical comfort that you and I can cling to in the year and years ahead. Now, the theme of my text and the scripture here seems to strive with what you and I can see in the way things appear to us as we stand here in the changing of the years. Just listen to the fireworks. You can see them in every time zone as people celebrate a new year in anticipation and in forgetfulness the things that are past. We're going to write 2017 as the date on everything. And we're going to make a few mistakes, but we will catch on and we will be entering the new year and we will do that in anticipation and forgetfulness. Or to use the terminology of the world, 2016 is in the can. It's done. It's over with. Regrets or no regrets, it's finished. And now we stand and we have a new opportunity. And some want to hang on to the past. And some want to forget the past. And some have a glowing anticipation for the future. And some have dread and trepidation with regard to the future. But it's all the same. There is change and decay here below. That's the evidence that the child of God sees. The ball falls in New York City. The calendar is turned to January chapter 1. We put an exclamation mark or a period behind the December in our diaries, and we open it to a new page. That's life. In 2020 vision with regard to the past, and as far as the future is concerned, we know not what it holds, though man seems to be so secure in himself. You see, that's exactly the character of man. That's why you and I don't know what 2017 holds. No doubt it's going to be a very eventful year for our families. We don't know those events. We know what we had to deal with in the past, and those are lingering effects. But when it comes to the future, you see, God demands of us that we live by faith. That's why He draws a veil over the future. That's why He makes us creatures of the present. That's why He gives us 20/20 vision looking backwards. And when it comes to the future, it gets very, very blurry in anticipation because we don't know what the future holds. But as we oftentimes tell our children, and that's going to be the point pretty soon, we know who holds the future. Or as I saw in the frame of a license plate last week, very fitting. No worries. God's got it covered. You see, that's the truth of the matter. And I'd like to focus on that for just a few moments with you this morning. Though this Word of God seems to be rather difficult, and certainly rather simple from a certain perspective, it is nevertheless very profound. The things that have been are now, and they will be, all the same. The things that were done last year and the years before are done now and will be done in the future. And it will be done in exactly the same way. And though that strives with everything that you and I experience here below, that's the truth of the matter. It strives with the fact that my calendar for 2016 is scribbled full of events, concrete happenings. It strives with the fact that my calendar for 2017 is completely blank, and the Lord is going to lead me every day to fill in every particular blank date. It strives with experience, but it's the truth. Did we catch that truth? That which has been, which was, is going to be. But does that really mean, Pastor, that we can just take the numbers off of our calendar and we can exchange the years, and whether you have 1900 and something or whether you have 2000 and something, whether you have 2016 or 2017, it's really all the same? Is that what it means? In a certain sense of the word, of course not. We know the difference between one year and another, and we know the happenings, and we calendar them. You can even apply that to the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our children studied Old Testament history. They move from creation, what God did, through the patriarchs. They moved on through the kings, to the prophets, to the fullness of time. That's history. You and I can see how that impacts our own personal life. We understand that. We can peruse our calendars and tell you what happened to us on this and this date. And when it comes to the future, God has drawn a veil over that future. But that is the progression of history. And you say to me, Pastor, you say to God, but you see, every day is different, and 2017 is going to be very different as well. Isn't that what we read? There is a time to everything. A season to everything. There are going to be births. There are going to be deaths. There are going to be health. There's going to be strength. There's going to be war. There's going to be peace. There's going to be difficulty. There's going to be prosperity. The stock market will continue to fluctuate. Those are the realities of change. But God is asking us to look at the story behind the narrative. How often haven't you children heard me say that in catechism? God wants us to know the story behind the narrative. We know the narrative of the past. We can chronicle history. We can read the history books. And the historians are going to put another year in the history books. And the future is unknown. We know all those things. But God is asking us to dig just a little bit deeper, you see, and to get beyond the chronology, and to get beyond the clock as it ticks away, and to ask the question, and we talked about this in catechism, what is God's story behind the narrative? We know history in the making, and we will make history in the future. But do we understand that from God's point of view and through the eyes of the Almighty God, history is the unfolding of His will and of His divine counsel? History is the revelation, you understand, of the mind of the living God, which is from eternity to eternity the same. That's the definition of God's counsel. You read that word of God's counsel throughout the scripture. You read it in many different verses from many different points of view. All you have to do is turn to Ephesians 1, for example, and you will see there that there is a good pleasure which God has, there is a purpose which God has, there is a will which God has, there is a plan which God has, and God enacts that plan, which is His pleasure, which is His purpose, from His perspective as the eternal God, that plan which He held in His heart and in His hands, if I may put it that way, from before the foundations of the world. God is eternal. We are creatures of time. God doesn't change. He's always the same. We are creatures of change and decay. So usually we look at history from the viewpoint of what has happened. And men sit down and they write history books. They look at the calendar of the world and they put it in a book and they say, this is what happened in 2016. Now, when you talk about history as his story, God's story that is told as time marches on, then you're dealing with the purpose of the unchangeable, loving, merciful God as he unfolds that purpose throughout all of history. Now you're dealing with the story that was in the heart and in the mind of God from all eternity that finds its revelation and unfolding as the history of this world progresses. That's the difference between history as man writes it and his story, which is told throughout history, conceived from eternity to eternity. How many texts do we have to come up with to prove that point that is so oftentimes debated because they say it plunges you into fatalism and they create the straw man that if God has it all decided, where is man's responsibility? And they don't understand that God works through us as rational, moral creatures. And he gives us his law and commandments in hand in order that we may walk the future in dependence upon him. That history of God's counsel may be unfolded. Asaph was puzzled. Psalm 73. The wicked increase. God's people are persecuted. I'm persecuted. God wrings me out like a wet dish rag every drop. I don't understand. Asaph, go to church. Listen to the word. He went to the sanctuary. There understood he their end. That God sets the wicked in slippery places. Why? Because in his story he uses them and casts them into destruction. And he leads me by his counsel in the way everlasting. God is good to his people. Or Psalm 33. God's counsel stands forever. Or Acts 15:18. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Or, and this is one of my favorites, Acts 2:23. Christ being delivered by the determinate counsel of God and the foreknowledge of God, you have taken and crucified and slain. Or do we have to talk about Ephesians chapter 1? There you have history in a nutshell with the cross planted right in the center. Or do we have to turn again to Revelation chapter 12 and there you have it all explained to you from beginning to end? Or can we turn to Romans chapter 8 where the Apostle Paul applies the counsel of God to our life and he says God foreknew, predestinated, calls, sanctifies, and glorifies the child of God? Or all these things are for us and what can possibly be against us? Scripture after scripture after scripture gives exactly the same comfort. Christ himself spoke of it, did he not? My Father is in heaven, and you, my beloved people, not one hair is going to fall from your head except by the will of the Almighty God. And here we stand on the threshold of another year, and I assure you that the world doesn't understand any of that. They don't get it. But we get it. Why? Let me read to you one of the most beautiful texts in all of Scripture. In Psalm 25. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. As we stand here in the midst of all the uncertainty of the world, and as they throw up their hands in futile expectation, and foolish expectation, you and I say this, but God whispered his secret in our ears. He made known unto us the truth of his covenant. He shows us that his grand purpose and design is this: to use all of history to gather and defend and redeem in Christ a church unto himself, to live with him as his bride in the glory of heaven forevermore. That's the truth of the matter. That's the heart, that's the soul, that's his story. And he tells us his story. And here you and I are on the threshold of another year. And that secret of God's covenant, we know and we understand. That's how come we can handle it so well. You see, then we can talk about all the events of history, the little squares on the calendar that we filled in the past, the diaries that we wrote, in the little squares in the calendar we will fill in the future, we don't know what they're going to say, in the diaries we will write and we don't know the story that they're going to tell. We can handle that. Why? Because all through these things, the things that have been are now and are going to be. And the things that God did, he does now and he's going to continue to do. And all you and I are going to see in 2017 is God's unfolding his counsel again and again and again every day. Because he's going to lead us, the whole world, by his counsel unto that new creation, and afterward to take us into glory. So what are you and I going to say on the threshold of 2017? Are we going to turn to the world, run with them, drown our troubles in lustful inebriation? Just read the newspapers the next couple of days, listen to the television broadcasts, and you will see the despair of the world that they tried to bury in the foolish anticipation with regard to the future. You're even going to hear about that in the church world, where they think there is a kingdom coming here below that is going to be so very wonderful. Turn to Revelation chapter 12. Get a dose of reality. The same flesh, the same devil, the same world that does his bidding, but also the same God who has it all in the palm of his hand, who is our loving Father. Oh, there are so many questions about the future. You make a list, I make a list. We can add them all together and we can stand in fearful trepidation with regard to the future. Or we can turn to the Bible as we did this morning and we can say, what was, is, and is going to be. And what God did in the past, he does now, and he's going to continue to do. And all the while I'm in the palm of the Almighty God who wrote the story from before the foundations of the world and who's going to reveal it to me in my life personally, in the church of our Lord Jesus Christ throughout the ages, onward to the fulfillment and the end of the story of God, which is the end of history, which our Lord Jesus Christ will come again upon the clouds of glory. And he will take us unto himself. Man is like the tender grass and like the flower. That's who we are. Thankful are we that the God of all mercy and grace, who cares for us, who guides us, who leads us, who has us always in his heart, is the unchangeable God who never changes in his attitude toward us. Always in his love, in his care, no different in 2017. Amen. Our Father and our God, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee that thou art God, unchanging, always the same, the rock of our salvation, and that's where we stand today, fearless with regard to the future, eagerly anticipating the fulfillment of thy plan and good pleasure, when all things shall be made new indeed. Amen.